Message from Mizbuch, we begin Perek Shlish of the third chapter in the Rambam, Hilchos Zichei Matan, the laws of acquisition and of gifts, where in this Perek, we begin a discussion regarding the laws of gifts, specifically how one could acquire a gift, as Rambam begins Halakha Alf on that theme. Hanishim Matan L'chaberim, someone gives a gift to his friend. Eina Makabel Zeichaba, the recipient does not acquire it, Ela Ba'achav Min Adrachim, only in one of the ways, Shakoyna Zeichaben Mimakoche, just like when someone acquires the bought object. That's the same way that a person has to do to receive a gift. If he wants to give him movable items, so it has to be achigbi, either till he does what's called a kinyan bagbal, lifting it up, or if he pulls it, if it's davish in darchaligbi, if it's something that's not normally used to lift up, or he acquires it with one of the other ways that movable items can be acquired with it. If he's giving him properties or slaves, so then, so until he takes possession the way a buyer takes possession, or until the document of the gift comes to his hand. But with words, the recipient has not acquired it. But either one of them, the giver or the recipient, could still back out up until a kinyan is made. Halacha Beis, we're going to gifts that actually don't need a kinyan. If the person pardons his friend for a debt that he owes him, or he gives him a deposit which was deposited by him, this is a gift that can be acquired just with words. You don't need anything else. Like we explained this in Parakef Melchiz Mechir Alochi Yidalf. Halacha Gimel. Someone says to his friend, that $100 that I have by you, give it to that other person. So that third person, which is known as Halacha Maimit Shloshtin, third person acquires it. Neither one of the three parties can back out. Whether is that the giver is giving it as to the recipient, the third party, for a debt that he owes him, or whether he's giving him a gift, and also whether this person that was a debt that he owed him to the giver, or whether it was deposited by him, and he's telling him to give it to that third party. Doesn't make a difference. Like we explained this in Perek Vav Hilchos Mechir Alocha Ches, this Maimit Shloshtin, that's going to work automatically with just words. That does not require a kinyan. Alocha Dalet continues that a gift also doesn't really need witnesses. Because just like you don't need witnesses regarding a purchase or a sale, is only to reveal the reality of this. If there was a claim and it was a denial, that's the purpose and utility of witnesses regarding Mekach Memke. Regarding pardoning and gifts, you don't really need witnesses, only for those who lie, and therefore you just need witnesses to verify. Halacha hey, regarding a gift that's not clearly defined. Just like the seller has to define what's being sold. Like we explained this in Perek Chaf Aleph from Hilchos Mechir Alocha Aleph to Gimel. So to the one who's giving a gift. Someone writes to his friend, Karka menachasa nesun lach. A piece of property from my estate is given to you as a gift. And doesn't say which one. He writes to him, Kol nechasa kenun lach, all my estate is acquired to you, chutz mukzas, except for some of it. Since he didn't define what he's giving him and it's not known, he hasn't acquired anything. And he cannot tell him, okay, tell me, give me at least the smallest of your estate. No. Until he clearly defines from the place that he's giving to him. But if he did tell him, this and this portion of that field, so since he at least defined the field, although he did not define which portion, so he does take a portion from the smallest ones of that field. Halacha Vav continues regarding a gift that's with a stipulation. Whoever gives a gift on condition, whether the giver is stipulating, whether the recipient made the conditions, and the recipient made a chazaka and he acquired it. So in the skam tonight, if the condition is fulfilled, so the gift is valid. If the stipulation was not fulfilled, so then the gift is void. He has to give back the produce that he ate. But who? And that is shiyat tnai kado, as long as the stipulation was halachically sound. Then it would be undone if he doesn't give it, and then it would require the stipulation. As Rambam says, Allah Chazayin Kivar Bi'an, already explained this in Perek Vav Melchas Ish, Allah Aleph to Beis, What does it mean that a tnai kuro? Shakol tnoin, that all stipulations sheyesh b'matanis, that there are by gifts, b'mekach memkor, regarding purchases and sales, tsarich shiya has to have the following conditions. That it has to be tnai kafel, has to be a double condition. Moreover, the hain, that you have to have the stipulation, meaning the obligations of the stipulation, koin lav, before the negative of if you don't. So you have to double it, but additionally, what is has to be before then what's not. And also, usnai koin lamaisa, which according to Ram, that means to say that the stipulation has to be before the one who acquires did an action already. And number four, v'yiyah tanai she'efshalakayim has to be a condition that could be fulfilled. If you're missing any one of these four conditions, batal, the condition is void. Ukeilu enshem tanai, so if there's no stipulation, therefore the stipulation does not have to be fulfilled. Halacha ches, now b'chalo emer amanos, whoever says on condition, is ka'ema ma'akshadami, actually it's like as if he says from now. And it's not like you say im, if. And ve'en etzarach lichba tanai, and therefore in that situation you actually don't have to double the condition and all the other stipulations of a condition are not required. That's how some of the Ga'inim, the period before the Rambam, the Rishayim, that's how they ruled. Well, is that 1990 and says the Rambam, and that's how my opinion leaning towards also. But Rabbi Sehoiru, my teachers, they ruled that no, one does not have to double the conditions. And to do the what is wanted before what's not wanted, only for getting engaged and getting divorced, but not by monetary law. And says Ram, and this does not have a proof. And therefore the Ram disagrees, and he holds that no, this halacha, all the conditions that are required for a stipulation are also necessary for the laws like we're discussing over here regarding zchiya and matana. Halacha continues regarding a gift that's with the, on the condition that they are given back. So nisa matana, another type of this condition. If someone gives a gift amanas on the condition lahachse that it's being given back, hariz matana, it's still considered as a valid gift. And Bein Shehisna Lahaks Miyad, whether the condition was that it has to be given back right away, Bein Shehisna Lahzir Lizmakasa, whether he stipulated it should be given back at a certain set time, or Koyime Chayv Shalachmem, or whether it's as long as one of them is alive, or Koyime Chayv Shalplaini, or as long as some other random person is still alive. Either way, Harizim Matan can be considered as a gift. Bein Matalim Bein Makaka, whether we're going to move by him, whether regarding real estate. And Ba'echel Pedis, because Mana Matan, and the recipient eats the produce as long as the gift is still valid. Halacha Yud, if someone says to his friend, this ox I'm giving you, but matana with a gift, I'm anashat echzire on the condition that you give it back, which is what we said is valid. Now, let's say higdisha bechzire. Let's say the recipient sanctifies it to Hashem, and then he gives it back. So actually, halacha is harizam muktish. It is sanctified because as long as it's his rights as a gift, it's all his. He can do whatever he wants with it. And umuchzer, it's also considered, however, that he gave it back, which thus fulfills the condition. So although technically the quality of this ox changed in the middle, but ultimately the condition was fulfilled because he gave back the object itself. But let's say Amalei, let's say set him amanasha tachzedeyuli, on the condition that you give it back to me. So here the language is superfluous, coming to stress something that's fit for me that I could utilize, then ain't a kaddish, then it's not going to be sanctified because since that would be nullifying the stipulation, so that would nullify the gift. And therefore then the recipient has no rights to sanctify it. Because shalahis no love, because he didn't stipulate el shayavz debarole that he gives back something that's fit for him, which is not fit for him if it was sanctified. And mechain kliyitz was anything similar like this that he gives back in a situation that's not fit for the one who gave it to use it, then that would not be a right that the recipient would have because of the extra language of the stipulation that he made. Halacha yidav continues regarding a gift to a Gentile. So asli so litin legoy matnaschin. It's forbidden for a Jew to give to a Gentile a gift that's for free for nothing. But it could give a gift to the resident convert, which is the Gentile who accepted upon himself the seven Noahide laws, and then he's allowed to dwell amongst us, and that's what he called a Ger Toshav, because he resides amongst us. Like it says in the passage at the bottom, like Ger Shebeshadecha to the convert that's in your gates, Titneno Vachalo, you should give it to him and he should eat it, or you sell it to the Gentile. What you see is, for the Gentile, is you can only sell it to him, but you can't gift him. But regarding the resident convert, it's the weather, it's all the weather, you could even give it as a gift, where because you're commanded to keep him alive. Shlomo says in the Pasuk, in Yivayikur, Ger v'toshav v'chayimach, the ger that settles amongst you, v'chayimach, he should make sure that he lives with you, and therefore to him, you could be, titnena, you could give it to him, v'chala, to the ger toshav. Halachah basically continues regarding if someone gives a gift to a slave or to a wife. to a woman that's married. Someone gives a gift to a slave or to a wife. So kon habal va'adam, the master or the husband, in whichever case that is, he acquires that gift. Ella, the only difference is she'adu kon laguf. The master of the slave acquires the actual body of the item itself, and the husband acquires it for its utility, but he doesn't actually own the object itself. Someone gives a gift to the wife, on the condition that the husband has no rights in it, or the evidence gives it to the slave, on the condition that his master has no rights in it. Doesn't make a difference. The master acquires it, the husband acquires it, because whatever the whatever they acquire is automatically the husband's or the father's. But there is an exception. Someone gives a gift to a woman or to a slave. The one who's giving it stipulates begufish matana, in the actual act of the transfer of the gift, that it should only be for such and such. In other words, besides for the negative terminology that it should not go to the master or to the husband, he also makes an active stipulation that whatever rights is being given to the woman is specifically for these things. So therefore, that's the limitation of the gift. And therefore, yeah, the husband or the master doesn't have rights. So lekana adam lekana bal. So therefore, the master doesn't acquire and the husband doesn't acquire. As Rama says, halachi dal ketzad hasso. He illustrates. Someone gives a gift to a woman that's married. He tells her, here, these monies are given to you as a gift. And he's stipulating, he's limiting the giving of the gift. On the condition that you use it to use clothing for yourself. On the condition that you drink it. You do what you want. But without the rights of the husband, so then yes, the husband will not acquire it, because it's a limitation in the gifting. Sotavislatze says to the slave, I'm giving you this money on the condition that you eat it or that you drink it. On the condition that you use it to get out free. On the condition that you use it whatever you want to, without the rights of your master over you. In those situations, the master has not acquired it. Anything like that, that's something that the giver could do. Now let's say the master himself gives over his whole estate to his slave. So kana atzma, the slave acquires himself, and the atzma goes out free. For kana shana chasm, and then he acquires all the rest of the property, and it all becomes his. But v'mishir culture, let's say the master left over even just a little bit, and I feel him a tatlin, even if what he left over is just some movable items, like kana klum, that slave has not acquired anything. Why? She'ein zeget chedas gomer, because this is not a full-fledged severance of freedom. She'ein by baget, because in the document that he's severing his relationship with him, which we learn now from law, the way it says regarding by the get of an isha to the get of an eved, which needs a document of emancipation also. Just like by the woman, it has to be safe, it has to be total severance. If you leave over any stipulation, it's not a full severance, the woman's not divorced. So too over here, that the slave is not fully severed and he's not fully freed. So since he's not freed, he hasn't acquired anything. Because even if he gives him everything, whatever the slave acquires, the master acquires. It's only because he's going free, but he's not going free because he didn't totally sever. And therefore, even if he left him with just a little bit of mentality, and he says, you could have all my billions and billions of dollars, he's actually not going to acquire anything, and he's still going to be his slave.